Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings. Welcome to the show today. You know, a few years ago, I remember I was on my porch in the backyard trying to pull up weeds. Numerous bush-like weeds had grown up through the cement of my family's back porch, and not a very fun task, but it was amazing to see that some of the weeds were dry and withered, and some were really flourishing. And I kind of wanted to know what was the secret behind those that were flourishing. And I discovered that those that were really, really green had a tiny root that connected them through the pavement to the ground beneath. You know, it made me think about us and our relationship with God, because Jesus says to his disciples in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, what John is doing here in our passage today, here in John 4:12-17, is he's expounding a little bit on what Jesus was actually talking about. He was reminding his readers that, you know, the key to life itself, it lies in our abiding in Christ. We have to abide in him, and he has to abide in us. And so take note as we read verses 12 to 17, just how many times we come across the key word abide and the key word in. He writes, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world." So here we see the process by which, you know, the believer comes to abide in God. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We see that in verse 15. And then immediately in that same verse, we see that after confession, God abides in the Christian and the Christian abides in God. And in that abiding, that mutual fellowship, that mutual indwelling, we experience two things. The first is that we experience how great God's love is for us. And the second thing we experience is the presence of his Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And that's the secret to our daily life, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who shapes us into the image of Christ, to where we are holy and righteous and pure. John even says, in this world, as he, Jesus, is. That's an amazing statement right there. We can model Jesus' holiness in this world. In fact, it's helpful to think of the Holy Spirit as the holy making spirit, because the Holy Spirit's role is to make us like Christ. And when we sense the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, that is what John says confirms that we are in Jesus. It says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Now, one scholar that I like to read often, he pointed out here how the Spirit that Jesus gave to his disciples wasn't just the third person of the Trinity. No, this was the Spirit who had empowered Jesus' own life and ministry. The secret to Jesus' life was the Spirit. And the Spirit is anxious to be the secret of our lives as well. The Spirit was the one who initiated Christ's conception. It was the Spirit who anointed Jesus at his baptism. In fact, the word Christ means anointed, so it was the Spirit who actually made Jesus the Christ. It was the Spirit who led Jesus and sustained him through his temptation in the wilderness. The Spirit was the source of Jesus' power over the demonic. And the Spirit, it is said, even enabled Jesus to endure the cross. The writer of Hebrews speaks of Christ as the one who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God. It was the Spirit who, with the Father, raised Jesus from the dead. And so we see that the Spirit was the key, the absolute key to the earthly life of Jesus. Now, what's amazing is that last night before the cross, Jesus told his disciples that he wanted them to have in their own lives the same Spirit who had been in his own. And so he promised them the Holy Spirit. And you know that a promise extends to you and to me as well. Now, when the Spirit remakes us in the image of Christ, the Christian finds that their life becomes characterized by love. Now, I'm not talking about the world's standard of love, which is incredibly shallow, but we're talking about Christ-like love, self-sacrificial, self-giving love, that same kind of love that Jesus embodied on the cross, the kind of love that John has been talking about in and throughout this entire epistle. That kind of love is what separates Christianity from every other religion. It's as someone once said, religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Abiding in Jesus means we'll also abide in and share in his sacrificial love. John says in verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, he was a famous British preacher. He had 5 sons, all of whom became ministers of the gospel. And one day, a visitor in their home dared to ask a personal question. Which of you 6 is the best preacher? And their united answer was, Mother. Now, of course, Mrs. Morgan had never preached a formal sermon in church in her life. But, you know, her life was a constant sermon on the love of God. And that's what our lives are supposed to be as well, a constant sermon on the love of God. But that love, it doesn't begin in us, but rather it starts with our first accepting Jesus Christ and his love for us. That's why John says in verses 14 to 16, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. So before anything else, we have to accept and receive the love that God has for us. And you know, that means accepting Christ. It's only when we have that vertical relationship with God healed in and through his work on the cross that the Holy Spirit can begin to come in and transform our earthly horizontal relationships with one another. And he will. Once we begin to abide in Christ, not only do we connect ourselves with eternal life, but we also connect ourselves with the source of love. And that forever changes our relationships with other people, to the point where we become identified by the love of Christ. John says in verses 16 to 17, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, the way that works, practically, is that the Holy Spirit comes into our life and works in us a cleansing of the heart. Well, cleansing from what? Sin, yes, of course, but what does that look like? What is sin? Sin is more than an act of disobedience. Sin is an orientation of the heart, an orientation that has been shifted from seeking to please and obey God to seeking our own wants, our own desires, and placing ourselves first. You may have heard the story of 2 friends who once met for dinner in a restaurant. Each requested fillet of sole, and after a few minutes, the waiter came back with their order. 2 pieces of fish, a large and a small, were both on the same platter, and one of the men proceeded to serve his friend. And placing the small piece on a plate, he handed it across the table. "Well, you certainly do have some nerve," exclaimed his friend. "What's troubling you?" asked the other. "Well, look what you've done," he answered. "You've given me the little piece, and you kept the big one for yourself."
"Well, how would you have done it?" the man asked.
"Well, if I were serving, I would have given you the big piece."
"Well," replied the man, "I've got it, haven't I?" And at this they both laughed. But you know what? I think that the mark of a transformed, abiding Christian is that all that he or she does is not ultimately for themselves, but for the glory of God. That is what John is saying. And that means placing the needs of others before our own. It's interesting, Clement of Alexandria, he was once describing the person who has come to know God, and he writes this: "He impoverishes himself out of love, so that he is certain he may never overlook a brother in need, especially if he knows he can bear poverty better than his brother." He goes on, "He likewise considers the pain of another as his own pain, and if he suffers any hardship because of having given out of his own poverty, he does not complain." You know, as I was reading this quote, I began thinking about the self-emptying of Jesus. Jesus impoverished himself. He lowered himself. He bore our sins in our very flesh, which he took on. And in the same way, we are to empty ourselves for one another and for him. Our selfishness, our sin, all that has to give way to the abiding love of Christ flowing into us and through us to the world. Our selfishness, our sin must give way to abiding in the love of Christ and allowing that love to move us to give ourselves to others as Christ gave himself for us. The question is, have we gotten on the cross? Are we living lives of sacrifice for other people that is characteristic of Christ's own sacrifice for us? That is the mark of the Spirit-filled believer, and it's something that John comes to time and time again. And so we come full circle back to this question of abiding. Are we just going through the religious motions? Or are we connecting ourselves like that weed through the pavement to Christ, the source of real, genuine, Spirit-filled life? I think it's so easy to lose sight of that because even the Ephesians that John was writing to had gotten to the point where they had become disconnected from God. And John is saying, get back, cast your roots deep into him, experience his life, experience his love. And today that's what God is asking us to do. Now, maybe you don't feel able enough or strong enough to cast deep roots. And you know what? That's okay. You might feel like that pavement may be just a little bit too thick. But you know what? If you are willing to ask God to meet you where you're at today, he will bring his ground up to you and help you to get deeper into him. But it begins with our asking, our invitation to him to allow him in. And so let us invite him in today. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.